everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show. Tom, if we can get by this kind of a dust storm that's going to be predicted, the high winds tomorrow.
Well, patchy dust.
But yeah, that will herald the change of seasons. Looks like upper 50s, mid-50s for the overnight lows next week. Boy, I am so ready on so many different fronts to say goodbye to
the 100s,
summer,
which are in their dying death throes,
yes, the
today, apparently.
That's just about it for them. Goodbye. The Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on the campus of Bustos Media here in Tucson. Now, we have 5 radio stations under one roof here. The Drive is our newest acquisition, a station that does very well. But right now, we are on KVOI on this Friday, September 29th, 2023. KVOI, Tucson's trusted source for news and talk. We'll begin with this radio show, our 14th year in January, and then 36 years on TV and radio in the Tucson market. Worldwide live listening for the program on our podcasts at buckmastershow.com. Our telephone interviews, if you'd like to join us on the live line, it's 790-2040 for your questions and comments. The live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Friday, we do a media partner shout-out. TucsonSentinel.com is a media partner. They proudly display the Buckmaster Show logo on their homepage. Just click there, and then that takes you over to our page, Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Dan Shear is with us, the editor of those two papers. Dan, thanks so much for your support over the years.
Great to be here. Thanks, Bill.
Tucson Local Media Group, they have Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Dan Shear, not only the editor of those two papers that I just mentioned, but he's the editorial director now of more than 30 papers in 13 states owned by the Sierra Vista-based WIC Communications, the newest acquisition. Up in Flagstaff, the Arizona Daily Sun, that deal just closed a couple of days ago.
That's right, on Monday, and we're glad to have them, and I think they're glad to be with WIC.
And that's a paper with a lot of tradition, right?
Oh, sure is. And from my days at the Arizona Republic, we dealt with them a lot, and they do really good work up there. Our purchase of them is going to allow them to be more autonomous, because under a corporate ownership before, that was simply not the case. And I think everyone's glad for that, and we're anxious to see what they can do.
Let's welcome now our Friday Focus interview to the Buckmaster Show, David Godleski, the head of the Southern Arizona Home Builders Association. David, always a pleasure to have you here on the program. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Good afternoon, Bill. Happy to be here.
Let's talk a little bit about the big picture right now. How do you build homes in an environment where interest rates have actually touched 7%?
It's certainly not easy. You know, we got off the start of the year, and it was looking pretty bleak. You know, we started to see interest rates go up last summer, and those continued through the fall and then into the start of the new year. And one of the metrics that we look at in terms of the health of the market is the number of single family permits that are pulled. And in January, the number of permits was over 60% fewer than January of 2022. And so when you are looking at the actual activity, it was substantially reduced in large part because of those interest rates. And if you are locked in at a much lower interest rate, you know, why would you move? Why would you give up what you have to take on a higher rate? But we've seen a lot of progress over the past 9 months. If you look at that same measurement at the end of of August, we've clawed back a lot of that ground. We're now only off by about 17% year to date. So things are looking good, but it's certainly challenging.
Builders have to make money or they wouldn't be doing it. I mean, they're not going to do it and even break even or lose money. That's just not part of the game. It's not the American way. We're in it to make some money. So how do you do that? The profit margin how does that work? Is the profit margin then less on this in this kind of an environment, David?
That's exactly right. You know, when you're looking at a market like Southern Arizona, where you have you have a high land cost, and that cost is embedded to the home pricing. You have labor challenges, increasing labor cost. You still have some lingering supply chain issue, material availability, material pricing. Mm-hmm. The end result is less money that you can make. And but I think, again, people are optimistic about the future. We did over 400 permits in August, and so that should be an indication that things are trending in the right direction. But right now the builders are just continuing to try and slug it out and do the best they can while still making a little bit of money.
Here's Dan Scheer.
You're telling us earlier that the median home price, I think it was in Southern Arizona, is $407,000. That has got to be pricing a lot of people out of the market, but even entry-level homes are very difficult to come across. I know it's dangerous when journalists do math, but I was, if you borrowed $300,000 at 7.6%, including taxes and insurance, your mortgage payment is going to be about $2,700 a month. Mm. That is insane. At what point, what can be done to lower that?
You're right on that median home price right now is just about $407,000, and it does have that effect of pricing a lot of people out of the market. The interest rates just make it even more difficult because you reduce that buying power for that consumer. And ultimately, I think we've got to figure out how to create additional supply, and working within the region on issues related to, infrastructure improvements, things like looking at state land and where we can build more and put up more homes. That's going to be key to addressing these affordability issues, is trying to figure out how to bring more land and more lots to the market, and more supply, reduce that entry price for the home buyer.
But more homes isn't necessarily going to drive down the price of paying the workers to build the home and the construction materials costs. So are these prices with us forever?
I wouldn't say they're with us forever, but I definitely think for the foreseeable future they are. And I think that's one of the things that we need to be cognizant of, is what that pricing, what that pricing impact is, how it affects our, our ability to get first-time home buyers into homes. One of the other factors that's influencing where we're at in new construction right now is we still continue to have, historically low resale activity. Right now, resale activity is typically measured in months of inventory, and we're under 2 months of standing inventory. And again, that's, in my opinion, a lot to do with the interest rates, because if you're in at 3% interest rate, why are you gonna move and then take on a 7%+ interest rate? So those underlying issues are unfortunately likely to lead to pricing staying elevated for the short time, at least.
Go ahead, Dan.
So a 2 month inventory for people is if homes were to sell at the rate that they have been selling, it would take 2 months to sell out everything.
That's correct.
And what do we want to be at?
Yeah, that was my question.
Typically, I think you'd want to be at close to a 4 to 5 month standing inventory. It's been several years since we've been at that number. At least the past 3 to 4 years, we've been hovering below that number. But yeah, that's, again, that's another, there just aren't the supply of homes, which keeps prices elevated.
So where is the building going on? What part of the valley, David?
In particular, we're seeing a lot of the home building activity occurring in the southeast, you know, along the I-10 corridor out near Vail. You're seeing Marana in the northwest side produce a lot of new homes. You're seeing some home building activity in the southwest part of town. There is certainly a number of new homes being built in the infill environment, but not as much as those other areas.
Why would infill not be attractive, just because of the land cost, David?
That's the big factor is the land cost, but then it's obviously getting through that entitlement process when you're trying to get the zoning that you need, trying to get plans approved, working through you know, the public participation process, opposition from neighborhood organizations, people who don't want that new subdivision going in their backyard. So there are a host of challenges related to infill. And that's again, I think another thing that as a community, we really need to rally behind trying to produce more homes within the built environment.
How has the product changed over the years? What are new home buyers, David, looking for in the product?
Well, I can tell you that I had the opportunity to tour the Rocking K community a couple of weeks ago and visit several of the home builders' model home communities. And one of the things that jumped out to me, and I certainly think that this is a pandemic related outcome, is you're seeing that that home office or space that you can convert to that home office, and that was something that for a period of time home buyers weren't looking for that type of space, but that's certainly back in the mix. And that I would also say it's just kind of like flex space that can be used for multi-purpose, but people are still working from home, and so the builders are responding.
Here's Dan Scheer.
Within about the last hour, the latest effort to keep the government open has collapsed, so we're almost for sure headed for a closure. Is that going to affect the home building industry, even if it's just for a short time?
That's a great question. I don't know if I'm smart enough to know the exact extent, but it certainly, I don't think it can be good when there are those types of shutdowns, regardless of your political affiliation, but I haven't done a deep dive to know specifically what the fallout on home building could be.
What areas are you short on? We talked during your last visit that the supply chain shortage was getting better, and you've indicated in your earlier remarks that it's no longer the challenge it was. But I'm just wondering what type of products. At one point it was lumber. It was very, very difficult to obtain. And if you could obtain it, it was very expensive. What products now still look like they're a little bit in short demand?
It definitely varies. Different products kind of come in and out of, ease of accessibility. Things like cabinets can be a challenge. I've heard that recently. One of the bigger examples, and this is outside of the direct, kind of scope of the home builder, but it's important nonetheless, are the transformers that the electric utility companies use to energize homes. And that is a national challenge or issue that's affecting home building. Here in Southern Arizona, builders are working very closely with the utility companies to build smaller phases of their communities to be able to accommodate the number of transformers that are available. So it's just, again, just having to be flexible and adapt based on availability of key construction components.
And people want good fiber, don't they, for their Wi-Fi?
They do. I think that's also critical in that work from home, is that quality and reliability of internet services.
Here's Dan again.
What does it look like for construction workers and people in the trades, plumbing, electricians, et cetera? Do we have enough young people in the pipelines to keep home building pushing forward in the future?
No. I think it's pretty clear that we have been constrained for a number of years based on our available labor in the trades. That's something that Saba as an organization takes a lot of pride in, is trying to create opportunities and support programs that are doing workforce development and training, whether that's the student chapter that we have at the Fred G. Acosta Job Corps, or whether that's the good things that are being done at Pima JTED or Pima Community College. We actually started an endowment scholarship at Pima Community College a couple of years ago, again, just to try and bring more young people into the construction trades. But it's not without its difficulties. If you're looking to go and put up roofs in a 100+ degree heat, or go work into conditioned space, in looking at the dollars, it's hard for the industry to compete, but we are trying to do our best to get more people in the trades.
All right, we're speaking with David Godlewski, the head of the Southern Arizona Home Builders. We'll take a break right now, but first, before we take, we'll take the break and talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. I'm always ready to talk about Mona's. And Dan, we need comfort food, don't we?
We sure do. I was glad to be hosting your show on the first day that Mona was back from a summer break, I have people ask me about that a lot of times down in Green Valley. I'm not going to be happy until they
open up a branch.
That's
down
absolutely
there.
They need to do this.
Mona's Danish Bakery. They are open right now for lunch. They open for breakfast at 6:30. Where are they? Well, they're conveniently located, if you're in the foothills area for sure, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Their website's monasdanishbakery.com. Check it out. Their pastries are second to none. They are really top-notch. We'll be right back talking about home building in Southern Arizona. 790-2040. 790-2040 is our live line number, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan to the RTA board by December. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday edition, our Friday Focus interview. David Godlewski is the head, the president of the Southern Arizona Home Builders Association, commonly referred to as SABA. And SABA, one of your signature events is the Home Show, which is coming up next weekend. How is that looking with fewer and fewer people right now deciding, well, maybe I won't buy, move to a maybe upgrade my home, move to another home, but I would like to still improve what I have. That's got to help your situation at the Home Show.
It's that time of year again, right? October 6th through the 8th at the Tucson Convention Center. We've had great sales so far. Have a number of exhibitors who've signed up. We should be approaching somewhere in the neighborhood of 300 different companies that are selling or promoting some type of home-related product or service. You're right, as people are looking at what their options are, if they're not looking to buy that that new home, they can certainly come down to the SABA Home Show and find a contractor to, you know, upgrade their kitchen or put in that dream backyard that they've always wanted. So that's, again, starts next Friday.
And it's twice a year, the Home Show?
It is. We do an April spring Home Show and then our fall show every October.
Here's Dan Shear, the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun.
We talked a little bit earlier about what home buyers are looking for, and you were talking about flex space and everything, but are they asking for more safety features in a home, such as like surveillance cameras, keyless entries, that kind of thing? And how does what does that do to a home price?
I do think that buyers are definitely interested in those types of features. I know that some of the builders are looking at offering those components, but it tends to be more of an aftermarket type of purchase that people are looking at those, security cameras and fancy doorbells that we all, hear the commercials and know about. In terms of the pricing, that would certainly depend on specific, pieces and parts that are installed by that home buyer.
Are the detached homes still the way to go? Are you seeing townhome developments? How is that going? We haven't talked about a multi-family type dwelling.
Certainly, Southern Arizona continues to be a detached product market. But I know that one of the things that, City of Tucson in particular is looking at is trying to find a way to allow for a different type of product. And they've looked at changing some of their zoning and regulatory framework to allow for townhomes. They've recently, within the past year, created an opportunity to build accessory dwelling units or casitas. So I think that you're going to see that type of product pick up. We don't have a lot of it right now, but the tools are there in the toolbox. And that's generally, you hear a lot of talk about the missing middle. And the missing middle is, that consumer group that's looking for those townhomes or those duplexes, triplexes, quads. And so I think that's something that we're going to have to focus on and make sure sure that we've got the zoning and regulatory framework in place to allow that. One of the phenomenons that we're starting to see, and it's certainly much more prevalent in the Phoenix marketplace, is the detached single family home that's built for rent. And so it's just like a normal subdivision, but those homes are rental homes and not for sale. And so I suspect that we're going to continue to see that increase here in Tucson over the next couple of years. And that could certainly help with, just adding more supply, more options, something that's a little bit different for the consumer.
So you're getting so many of these high-tech companies now in Phoenix. They're bringing in a ton of new jobs. But these people that are coming, maybe they've never lived in the Southwest. Maybe they don't even know if they're going to want to be able to handle the heat or whatever. So they are potential renters, and maybe a renter would like a new product.
That's right. I think is when you come to a new community, mm-hmm. and you want to get to know that community, perhaps before you decide to make a home purchase, that's an option that's for them. I think it's also in response to, kind of the younger generations wanting kind of the sense of being able to be tied down, have more flexibility. So we've definitely seen an increase in that over the past 12 months. We'll likely continue to see an increase, but I do have a lot of confidence in the direction that just the traditional subdivision activities is going to go.
But a lot of the apartment builds that we see today are luxury apartments, and you can, we're talking $2,000 a month rent, which brings us to the Affordable Housing Commission. You are Supervisor District 1 representative on that. What is the mission of the Affordable Housing Commission?
That's correct. So the Board of Supervisors reconstituted this commission. I believe it was last October, and started meeting earlier this year. And really, that commission is looking, comprehensively. We have certainly the representation from the supervisor offices, but also have participation from the other communities in Southern Arizona. And so we're looking at the issues of not just housing affordability in the kind of the traditional sense, but also, finding ways to increase the supply, increase housing inventory. One of the things that they've been focused on is like a dashboard or kind of comprehensive analysis, really to look at the data, look at what we have, and where we want to be to help guide those programs. The board recently awarded some what's referred to as gap funding for affordable housing projects. So the commission is making progress. We are steadily chipping away, but it's such a big issue that it's going to take a lot of different strategies in time.
We haven't talked about kind of the elephant in the room, water sustainability, and how that plays in with new home development. It's a big issue.
It really is. It's a huge issue. And, I look at what we've been able to do in Southern Arizona, and it's a success story. If you really look at what Tucson Water has been able to do, and that's with the direction of Tucson Mayor and Council, that we've been able to effectively manage and conserve our water resources. Tucson Water talks about how our water demand and population growth has been decoupled, but nonetheless, looking out in the future, we're going to have to continue to figure out ways to live with less water, especially as it relates to what's happening on the Colorado River and shortages there. I do think, just broadly speaking, that the Tucson region is in a better position than Phoenix. There was news a few months ago about what's happening in the Phoenix active management area and restrictions that they've placed on future growth in subdivisions. We haven't seen that type of situation here, and certainly fingers crossed that we won't. won't, but that will be one of, if not the biggest issue for development and frankly for our entire region.
The New York Times actually put that on the front page, saying the way the story, the headline read, that looked like building is stopping in the Valley of the Sun.
You know, it's a scary dynamic up there where they've determined that there's unmet demand and aren't going to be issuing new certificates of assured water supply. And the governor has a policy group that she's formed that's looking very closely at that. ADWRs involved, and certainly construction and home builder involvement in trying to find a solution for that as well.
How about these? We're hearing about the tiny home development. I've been told the tiny home is something under like 1,000 square feet or something like that.
I think technically, if you look at what the city of Tucson...
Maybe smaller.
Yeah, it is smaller. It's probably 400 square
okay,
feet
half
or
of
less.
That. Yeah.
Yep. I do think that one of the ways to help with affordability is, you know, going to be smaller homes, and builders are looking at that. The one thing to keep in mind, though, you know, the most expensive parts of the, you know, the home, the kitchen, you know, bathrooms, your heating and cooling is expensive. So those costs don't get to be spread out over a larger footprint of the home. And so I do think that all these things, ADUs, tiny homes, are tools in the toolbox and things that we need to look at. But I don't know. There's certainly not a silver bullet solution.
Dan, down in your area, the retirement home development, I'm wondering if that's slowing down at all, David Godlewski.
That's a good question. You know, we've perhaps not the same level of activity as it was maybe, you know,
10 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say a decade ago. But there are, you know, Southern Arizona continues to be a destination. And a lot of people who might be, you know, from the Midwest and they're done with the winters and they want to come out to somewhere that has the natural beauty that our community has in the weather. And so there still is a significant consumer demand for that type of product. So it hasn't gone away by any stretch, but all those preferences are evolving.
Here's Dan Scheer.
Check me on this, but in the olden days, a developer would put in the roads and the sewers and everything and then give them over to the city or the town.
They'd hand them off, yeah.
Right, and now we have CFDs, which are community facilities districts, where the homeowners, eventual homeowners, are being saddled with the price of putting in those services. We have a couple of these down in Green Valley and Sahuarita, and it just adds to the mortgage payment, really. Are we seeing more CFDs?
Short answer is we've seen a couple of them, but I don't see it as a growing trend. They're difficult. They're cumbersome to put in place, and essentially that CFD is a mechanism to financing that infrastructure, especially when it comes to, you know, this infrastructure that's very expensive, like roads. And so instead of in Sahuarita, they have one, but they also don't have impact fees there. And so this is a mechanism where it is a property tax component. And so we have seen a bit of an increase in usage, but I don't foresee a massive change. It still is the vast majority of the cases where the builder developer puts in that infrastructure and then gives it back to the local government.
But are we seeing some local government saying, no thanks?
You know, I'm not aware of that where they've not accepted that infrastructure. And typically all of those things are worked out well in advance before that subdivision's built. That's part of that entitlement process when the private builder developer works directly with local government on the onset of the approval process.
Are the builder developers national people by and large that are working in the Tucson area, David?
Yes, you've certainly seen a concert.
'Cause back in the old days, 10, 15, even, I've been in town 35 years. There used to be a lot of local builders.
Yeah. There has been that shift over the past 20 plus years where the concentration, the vast majority of the homes are being built by high volume production builders. And in part, that's because they have the available capital and the financial ability to do that. And so it's difficult for that small local builder. Lending for real estate and development is difficult, or it can be, going through the regulatory process can be difficult for that local independent builder. But we definitely have several local builders who've been in the marketplace for a number of years that continue to do an excellent job in providing housing.
All right, we're going to leave it right there. David Godlewski from Southern Arizona Home Builders. Thank you, David.
You're welcome. Thanks, Bill. Thanks.
And Dan will stick around. We'll talk with Dan Scheer right after this. It's the Buckmaster Show on a Friday. Be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Thanks to David Godlewski, the president of the Southern Arizona Home Builders Association, joining me in studio. Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, editorial director of more than 30 papers in 13 states owned by Sierra Vista-based WIC Communications. Their latest paper, their acquisition, is the Arizona Daily Sun. up in Flagstaff, which shared the same ownership as the group that owns the Arizona Daily Star. And I'm sure you get asked, what about the Star? Is that something that WIC might be interested in?
Well, you know, that would be such a different direction for us, because we don't have the larger metro papers like that, although we do have some in some pretty big areas. As far as there is a dual ownership at the Star with Lee and Gannett, and that is very complex. And to unwind all of that would be difficult take a lot of time and probably a lot of money. And it's a profitable paper. Would we like to? You know, that's a good question, Bill. I'll just leave it at that. I mean, it would certainly be interesting, and I have worked at a very large paper in the past. We would certainly know how to handle this thing. But I can tell you, in about 3 weeks, it would look very different than the Star does right now.
Mm-hmm. So, and there is that joint operating agreement. It's technically not a JOA.
No, it isn't. It's just but again, it's very complex, and the ownership. You know, everyone wants to say in it, and as I said, they make money. Mm-hmm. They just tend to be paying off the debt of Lee Enterprises, which is one of the owners there. They have a huge, huge amount of debt. Mm-hmm. And so I think they use the Star, one man's opinion, to help pay off that debt rather than reinvest it in local journalism, which is unfortunate for all the people who work at the Star.
So what's the latest on the investigation? I know we had Adelita Grijalva on the show yesterday concerning the Pima County Sheriff's Department and Mr. Nanos, Sheriff Nanos, there's an internal investigation into a member of his staff, correct?
Right. There's a there was a house party. A woman claims that she was sexually assaulted. She is a member of the sheriff's department. The accused is also, and there were several other people there who work for the department. Now, his criminal case is going through the courts right now, and he has lost his job. But the question is, what about an internal investigation on the others who were there and their role in maybe not stepping in, or did they do the right thing, is really what the question is. Sheriff Nanos has said, look, if we're not going to do anything until after this case has been adjudicated in the courts, I do not understand that. There are plenty of instances where there is a court case going on and an internal investigation.
At the same time,
absolutely.
Dual investigation.
So now, and I believe Supervisor Grijalva mentioned this on your show, we have Jan Lesher, the county administrator, asking for an independent investigation into this by the Arizona Department of Public Safety and by the State Attorney General's office. And I have those memos that were just put out there a couple days ago. So we have some push forward on it. They are not obligated to undertake an investigation. We'll see what happens. And I think we'll see some more stuff landing on the agenda for the supervisors here pretty quick, maybe even today. So,
was there any news on that fire you had about a month ago at the Walmart?
You know, we learned a lot of lessons from that fire. So the Walmart, someone goes in there and lights the paper products aisle on fire, and there come the sprinklers, and then you have the smoke damage and everything. And this has happened in a couple of other markets. It happened at a Target up in the Phoenix area recently, and they were closed for weeks. And turns out we were only closed for 5 days, but we didn't know that that would happen. I will tell you, Walmart jumps on it, and they had a team in there, and they did a great job. But what we learned was that there are a lot of people and businesses that can be affected when you have the major draw to a retail area closed down, even for a few days, because mm-hmm. now people's shopping patterns change. Mm-hmm. They're avoiding this, so all the small businesses were potentially hurt. There's, of course, the sales tax revenue that is lost. There are jobs and the Walmart employees that that may not exist for a while, if those who can't transfer to other stores. There's so many aspects of this. This isn't just a fire. Walmart, you know, love it or hate it, is a big part of the communities where it is. And when I spoke to the town manager and just kind of how all this went down, we're just glad in the end the town is that they reopened fairly quickly, because it would have been very damaging if it had not happened like that.
Very damaging is dementia, and if anybody's been touched by it, they know this is just such a heartbreaking situation. That's a big issue in your area. How's that series that you guys put together going?
It's going well, and what we're doing is we are attending really seminars. Some of them are online, some of them are in person. The name of the group, I think I sent you that. I don't have it right
dementia
in front of me.
Dementia Capable Southern Arizona.
Right, and they are doing pushing education on dementia from the basics down to the more complex questions. And this has, we've had some breakthroughs in medicine and dementia in the past year, actually in the past summer, that are very promising. But this is something that will probably affect almost every family out there going forward. So we thought it was worthwhile to send a reporter to these, talk to some experts, and put together this series as these seminars roll out that just gives people resources and hope, quite honestly, because when you lose hope, if you're the caregiver and you don't have respite, it's going to kill you. And so we are pouring a lot of time and ink into this. We think it's worthwhile.
And by its very nature, Green Valley, a retirement community, this is a huge issue. And a spouse gets dementia, suddenly the husband or the wife find themselves, their whole life is completely changed. They're now a caregiver. And as you said, there's no respite. This is a 24-hour 24/7 job being a caregiver, and these people. And then the problem is that you can't do it alone.
They're
older people.
Yes.
And then they love their wife, they love their husband, but they just can't. They're not capable of being that caregiver, and then they feel guilty.
Well, and number one, they have to think about themselves.
Yeah.
And if you don't get away and take a break from this, you're going to be no good to the person you're caring for. We have something in our community, and these are nationwide. It's called a memory cafe, and it allows people to go, the person who has the dementia and the caregivers, and it's just one. Number one, it's a place to look forward to going to, you know, to getting out and to have someone else kind of be in charge, and they have different fun things they do and certainly learning opportunities. These are very, very important to a community and to a family going through this.
All right, Dan Scheer, thank you very much. We'll look for your work in the papers in Green Valley and Sahorita, and then up in Flagstaff with
Very
the Arizona
good.
Daily Sun. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, we'll take a break right here. Then we will come back with Matt Russell. Matt has Weekend Watch. It's Buckmaster on a Friday.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax.
The RTA is collected throughout Pima County and averages more than $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
And away we go with the weekend. Boy, I'm looking at that Silver City forecast. Beautiful over in the land of enchantment. Upper 40s for the overnight lows early next week. And so high temperatures around 80. You just can't beat that kind of weather. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. So many opportunities to get outside, including visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. I strongly urge you take a look at their website, which is southwestnewmexico.org, before you hop in the car, jump in the truck, or jump on the motorcycle and head east to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's welcome now the longtime host of Weekend Watch, Matt Russell, award-winning Tucson publicist and dedicated foodie. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, but you have me at high 40s. Time to break out the mittens and scarves to head to Silver City. Count me in.
Yeah, you're going to have to get out that old sweater that that you'd sent a couple of times to the dry cleaner. And, well, let's just put it this way. You've put on a few more generous pounds.
Tis the season, sir.
There you go. And tis the season to tap into Oktoberfest time.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are knee-deep in Oktoberfest. And it isn't even October. That's what I love about this season. So my pick this weekend is Button Brew House over on North Camino Martin. They're going to be hosting their annual Oktoberfest celebration tomorrow from noon to 5. And what I think that makes this event so special, it's really not just about their own beers and their own beers that they're going to be pouring. More than 15 other local brewers are going to be on hand to serve up their suds as well, along with some ciders and wines. It really is a huge parking lot party, lots of live music, German fare, a costume contest, and you can get in for only $40. And a portion of the proceeds bill helps to secure home care services for those with special needs. So I say celebrate the season tomorrow at Button Brew House.
The only thing missing is a yodeling contest.
I've been practicing all week.
All right. It's cocktail time. You know what they say? It's cocktail time somewhere at every hour of the day.
It absolutely is. And we're going to be going right over to cocktails with the High Wire Cocktail Factory going down tomorrow night from 5 to 8. This is an evening of hands-on mixology and artisan pizza at High Wire downtown on Arizona Avenue. Now, admission includes a refreshing welcome cocktail, plus the chance to get a little creative as you kind of explore four distinct cocktail stations that are all hosted by High Wire bartenders. This is basically a self-paced tour through these stations, with each offering kind of a unique educational experience, plus a chance, of course, to create cocktail masterpieces of your own. Tickets are $65 a person, and all you need to do is prepare to shake, stir, and sip your night away at High Wire. That's tomorrow. It's going to be a blast.
Tucson is the city of gastronomy, and now we have a gastronomic union.
Boy, do we ever. And we're going to be rounding out the weekend on Sunday as the Gastronomic Union of Tucson gears up for a culinary adventure that spans the globe right here in Tucson. So the highly anticipated Global Flavors Fall Festival is going to make its return at 5 o'clock p.m. at Tucson Village Farm. This is an evening where nearly 15 local chefs get together and collaborate and showcase their talents using fresh local ingredients. But the really cool part about this, Bill, is they're teaming up with members of the Iskashita Refugee Network and creating a diverse range of international flavors. So you can get into all the action for only $55 each. All the information plus reservations, you can find it all now at TucsonFoodie.com.
Well, thank you very much for a very tasty weekend watch, Matt Russell. Have a great weekend.
My pleasure.
All right. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. That company, my company, is wholly responsible for the content of the program. Original theme music for the show composed by our German friend Christophan, thanks to my assistant Rosemary Brandt and everybody here at KVOI, including Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing our program, and the entire team here at Bustos Media Tucson. The entire team has one wish for you this weekend. Well, actually, a couple of wishes. Be well, everybody. Stay safe and make it a lovely weekend.